talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. Is on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. No, don't worry about the start of the show over here. Just keep on Googling. It's time for the Exchange Club. Scott Spears, Matt Morgan, and Pastor Craig along with you for the ride this hour. And Matt, let people know what 92 was all about there a second ago.
We were the song that was on, the lady who sang it is 92 years old.
And who was that lady that sung it?
Yeah,
Marla Gibbs.
Marla Gibbs, legendary sitcom, comedian, vocalist, wonderful woman. She sings the theme song for the Exchange Club.
Nice.
Are you impressed?
I mean, yeah, she's... I mean, she. Anybody who has a Wikipedia page, you should be impressed about.
Well, I don't know about that, but... That's a little iffy, but,
yeah,
you know.
That's a little iffy.
But it was interesting to me that the thing that jumped out right away was 92. It wasn't great actress.
I didn't look at any of her movies or anything. I don't
Been in them all.
I wouldn't have seen any of
she's
them.
She's seen... You've seen them all.
I've seen no movies.
Well, what? You haven't seen any movies?
I don't watch movies.
Well, then, who do you have you seen anywhere? I could say Sylvester Stallone. You'd have no idea.
That's Rocky. Right?
No, see, you've seen a movie.
That's Rocky, right?
I've never seen the movie. I just know of him.
So why do we base celebrity, then, on an act that you do not participate in?
I don't know. That's why celebrity, like, at least actors, I don't really care about.
So who are the real celebrities to you?
I like music.
Music?
Music.
Like when I showed you the other day, I'd interviewed Bobby Lewis, tossing and turning, you said, that's a celebrity.
Yeah. I like Toss and Turn is a good song.
I took him back to the 50s the other day.
Wow.
And really indoctrinated him with the old Bobby Lewis song.
Wow.
Toss and Turn is a good song.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Well, just for music's sake, we might as well do this here. Why not? It's Friday.
Every day I wake up, pour myself a cup of that rich Folgers aroma. The best part of waking up, it's the doo-wop, doo-wop in all I do. The mountain goat aroma always coming through. Always coming through. Oh, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Now I'm right in harmony with that doo-wop, doo-wop ditty. Whoa, one more cup and it's a hoo-wop, shoo-wop for me. Oh, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Well, I bet those are top-notch celebrities to you, Matt, because they are music galore. They can make coffee entertaining.
I've never heard of them. It's the only song I've ever heard by them. It's an ad.
Is it not good?
It's not bad.
You love it.
It's not bad
you love it.
For a coffee ad.
Well, Pastor Craig, don't you just want a cup of coffee now?
I do.
Doesn't that group...
Yeah.
Have you ever heard anybody as excited about coffee as those guys?
No, but they make coffee sound exciting.
They do. Now, I should mention we do have a top 10 list coming this hour, so don't fray from your listening device because it's something to behold. And we thank Bob Welsh for doing that. And tonight we'll have another top 10 list, and we'll have Matt and Sean and myself and a special guest co-host tonight because Carrington is on vacation, and this co-host has been on before for 1 hour, but you're going to want to tune in because she's going to be here for the entire 2 hours tonight, unless you oversleep again, right?
I'm going to oversleep.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Positive.
We had that problem twice.
Yep.
So I'm a little leery of it.
It shouldn't happen.
Well, let's go to topic number one, the big eclipse that's going on next year, 2024. There's going to be a big eclipse, and right now we are being warned, please get your drugs, get your food, get your water, because there are going to be people here, and we're going to run out. So I think I really think it's just causing panic unnecessarily. What do you think, Greg?
Well, I think it is definitely trying to cause unnecessary panic. The part I don't get is, okay, so there's going to be a major run on over-the-counter drugs? I mean, obviously, they're not talking about prescription drugs, or if they are, that's even more alarming. But, you know, here's the thing. I first heard about this a year ago. Okay, as you know, my son and I have a portable restroom business, and I was given the heads up by someone in Marion here that they had heard from the local FEMA office that there's going to be this mad rush of people in April of 2024 for the solar eclipse, that towns get overrun by people coming to see it. You won't be able to get a motel room. They're going to have to put up portable toilets all over town. There's just going to be this incredible rush. And I'm saying to myself, I've never heard anything about this. This isn't the first solar eclipse that's occurred. And So this week I kind of just forgot about it because I'd never heard any more about it. Then when you brought it up the other day, I said, okay, this is when Google's my friend. So I spent a lot of time actually Googling about the event coming up in April 2024. And yeah, Marion sits right in the middle of the path, the band where the eclipse will be visible. It starts in Texas, and that afternoon, that day, you know, it goes across the United States. It's gonna be visible in 20 states. Now, they're predicting that 20 million people are going to travel to see it, okay? But that's not 20 million people going to travel to Marion, Ohio. I mean, you know, you got Texas, and you got Missouri, and you got Illinois.
That's nearly half the states.
Right. And, you know, and it's on out to the East Coast, out to Vermont. So realistically, how many people are going to be traveling from out of town to come here?
What are we going to see?
We're going to see nothing. Well, no, we're going to.
Well, I mean, what is it? What happens here?
The moon
passes before the sun.
Right, and so it totally blocks out. You know, this is one of these, you know, solar eclipses where, you know, we'll be in the path to get a total eclipse, and so you'll be able to see, you know, the moon as it passes in front and the slow disappearance of the sun, and then when it's perfectly lined up, you only see that corona coming around the moon, and so it gets very dark, but it only lasts, you know, like the total time for us here in Marion from the very beginning of the eclipse to the end is like 11 minutes.
And it doesn't get dark, right?
No,
it just looks
like
overcast.
Yeah, it's like extremely overcast. And so, you know, you won't be able to get a motel room, and, you know, you can't get bottled water yet. Okay, so the last time that there was a total eclipse was in August of 2017. So I went back to August 2017, and I searched for all the news articles I could find about it. And all I could find in news articles was all those stories leading up to it that says you can't get a motel room, and you're not going to be able to do this, and you're not going to be able to do that. I could not find one single news article after the eclipse that told how bad it was. You know, That told that you couldn't get a motel room, and the roads were blocked from all these people. I couldn't find any news articles. So I'm firmly convinced it's a big deal about nothing, as far as you can't get. You better stock up on your drugs, and you better stock up on food. And I don't see how that's happening.
For 11 minutes. The things people will do for 11 minutes.
Yeah.
What do you think, Matt?
I don't know how the solar eclipse would cause all of that.
It's curiosity, and people, I mean, you know, if I lived in Cleveland, yeah, I might drive to somewhere outside of Cleveland to the nearest place to go watch it that afternoon, you know, but I mean, I'm not going to be raiding their gas stations and Dollar Generals to buy stuff.
And you know, the thing to me about it was on the front page of the paper. that worries people
right.
when they're only reading the headline that says solar eclipses. You need people are getting warned
right.
to get food, medicine, water. People right. hoard. That's bad.
9 months in advance, they're telling people this.
I think it's a bad move.
I think it's a bad move too. And I really would like to know who's the person that's behind that. I mean, is it the is it like a FEMA official that's telling, the Marion Star, or who are the people? Because I don't know. I can't figure it out.
I think it was the EMA over in Richland County. And does anybody really care about this anyway?
No.
I don't remember in 2017 people running outside to watch this thing.
That's the problem with the EMA, Emergency Management, whatever, agency. We don't have hurricanes here. We don't have tornadoes here. So they've got to find something to keep themselves busy. So, hey, you got this coming next year.
Yeah, that's about it.
I mean, like, in August, like, the one you were talking about in 2017, we were in school, like, that day. And we were, like, just about to be let out of school. And no, like, to my knowledge, at least, like, we even made things in, like, the science class where you could, like, look into the cardboard box and you could, like, watch the projection of the thing. But, like, nobody used it. We got out of school and immediately got on the bus. Nobody cared.
That's what I think will happen again.
Right. And it's a Monday, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. How many people are at work?
Yeah, nobody's.
It's not like you can just, I'm taking the day off because I got to go see the eclipse.
We got to ride that story for another year. We got to ride it right through April of 2024. But if you want to watch the eclipse, go ahead. But I don't think you're going to run out of food and water. I think if you go to McDonald's that night, you'll still be able to get a Big Mac.
Yeah.
I think you'll be okay.
And you'll probably be able to get in their parking lot so you could park your car and watch the eclipse.
It's not going to be Armageddon.
No.
In April of 2024. Now, the other subject was very interesting this week. We're coming up on the 100th anniversary of the death of President Warren G. Harding on August the 2nd. But for some reason, they had a wreath-laying ceremony last Saturday on July the 15th at the Harding Memorial, and nobody knew about it. So, 100 years later, does anybody care about Warren G. Harding anymore?
I mean, at least, I don't know about everybody in my age group, but I don't know much about Harding at all. I just know he came from Marion. That's about it. I don't know anything he did. I know that his cabinet had a lot of...
He had a dog.
Yes, I did know that. But his cabinet had had a lot of scandals, but he himself wasn't involved in any. But it just made him look bad, because...
He was involved in a lot of extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
I don't think people really are that concerned about President Harding anymore. I'm looking at the flyer, the press release that they put out for this symposium that I mentioned last Friday, this symposium that they had. And right here, Saturday, July 15th, 10:30 to 11:30, wreath-laying ceremony. It doesn't tell where it is. It doesn't tell what the purpose of it. And this whole symposium was through the photographer's lens, exploring the U.S. president. And they had this guy, this Peter Sousa, that came and talked about how the fact that he was the photographer for Reagan and for Barack Obama. And so you read the events of the schedule, and again, they didn't tell you anything about it. How would you know that there was going to be a wreath-laying ceremony for the 100th anniversary of President Harding's death if nobody tells you anything?
What were the ticket prices to that event?
There was not anything listed. They didn't say. They didn't say it was free, and they didn't see. Now you're going to get me on my soapbox for what I'm trying to do in the 11 o'clock hours, tell people what's going on. But I'm finding this is a common theme for the information to be sketchy, not very detailed. And one of the biggest things is, what does it cost? If they don't say anything, they don't say it's free, they don't say it's cost, how do you know?
I don't understand how they're getting people to go to the events if they're not listing a location.
Well, that's the thing. There was no location listed. This symposium was being held, I think, at the OSU here on Marion Harding, our Marion campus. But was everything held there? Were all the events held there? You know, they listed the five different events, but they didn't say where it was. And, you know, this takes me back to my days in school 50 years ago. We had a class on journalism. We had to cut out newspaper articles. And one thing that I know that they taught me, if you were going to be a journalist, the most important things are the five W's. Who, what, when, where, why. Scott, you're shaking your head. You know all about who, what, when, where, why. Okay? Well, if you're putting on an event and you're in charge of publicity for the event, I would think you would want that same who, what, when, where, why communicated in your press release for your event that you're having.
Now, the question then becomes, is it the people who don't care about President Harding or the people who are handling President Harding who think that people don't care?
Go ahead.
It kind of seems like they don't care. I mean, they didn't put enough effort in to list the location of where everything took place at. They didn't list ticket prices, whether or not admission was free. They just gave a time.
Like I said, I told the story not too long ago on the air. I think maybe it was this week that when Jim Robinault wrote the Harding Affair book. Now, this has been probably over 10 years ago. I discussed with him because I wanted to interview him about the book because it was a great book. It was the first time the letters between he and Kerry Phillips were going to be released. And I thought, well, let's do the book drop in Marion because Jim was from Cincinnati. And he agreed. He thought that was a great idea. So I went to OSU with this idea, and they said, well, people don't really care about Harding anymore, but yes, let's do it. It's a Marion thing. And I think they ordered like 20 or 30 books. It was a very low amount for a book signing, book drop. And we had this event that was going to go on where Jim was going to speak at and they gave us one of the smallest rooms at OSU. They didn't give us the auditorium. They gave us the Guthrie Room, which maybe seats 150 people. They said they did not want to charge admission. And I remember I got there that night because I was the MC for the program, and I looked at the parking lot, and it's like 7 o'clock at night, and I see people flooding in. And you know what? We flooded that room with people, had people standing in the back. He sold out of the books completely, and people could not get them at Walden's at that time, which was still open here. So they completely underestimated that interest in that. And it's fascinating to me because I think that has happened more than once now with Harding. And, you know, that's actually how the Harding Symposium started, because after that they decided, well, we'll charge. And I think they had a few years where it was successful, but now we're back into the same old thing.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, I think part of it may be, you know, they assume, you know, well, there's not much interest. But if you're planning an event, and it can be for anything, you know, not just Harding. If you're planning an event, I've always felt that you should overestimate what kind of a turnout you're going to expect. If you think you're going to get 30 people, plan for 60. If you think you're going to get 10 people, plan for 25. If you think you're going to get 200 people, plan for 500.
You know what's fascinating to me? Harding is a 20th century president. He's not ancient history. And we're coming up to the 100th anniversary of his death date, which is when he left office. He died in office. And what's fascinating to me is that there are people still alive who were born when Harding was president. Now, you'd have to be over 100, but there are those people still around. So it's not ancient history. It's not like Revolutionary War stuff. But we have very quickly forgotten President Harding in this area. And aside from naming schools after him and some other things, hotels and so on and so forth, that's about it. I don't think we really do much with the man.
I don't think Marion does. I came here. I brought my teenagers here. This would be 15, 20 years ago, to visit the Harding home. And I was not aware at that time that there's a Harding Presidential Library almost right behind it. Okay? And it wasn't until I had been involved around here in things, after about 10 months, I noticed that there was the Harding Presidential Library because I drove by it. But to this day, I don't think I've seen anywhere anything that promotes, you know, and okay, so it's going to have a limited appeal, the Presidential Library, but I think, I don't know, I haven't been to it yet, but I plan to go because who knows what might be there? Who knows what interesting papers, artifacts, books they have there?
Well, what's also interesting to me is the man is complicated in a lot of ways. He led a very interesting life. And we don't really promote that at all. There's nothing really to him that we... I don't know. I think people were ashamed for a long time because of the Teapot Dome thing. But that's become almost ancient history here in Marion.
Teapot Dome?
Yeah, that was what he was associated with for a long, long time. Which, that broke after he died. And the fascinating thing is that I don't think people know that that's his home. I bet you 20% of Marion maybe know that he lived there and that the Harding home is there. I think people just pass it. It's in a neighborhood. Well, there's another house somebody lives in. And I bet no more than 20% of the population of Marion County has ever been to the home.
You're probably right. And, you know, really, what president hasn't had a scandal? Now, some presidents have had more scandals than others or been more scandalous than others. But really, what president hasn't had it? I don't know. I could be wrong, but I'm betting that in Nixon's hometown, where here's Nixon Library is, I'll bet it gets a lot more publicity than Harding.
And there's not a whole lot of difference there when you think about it in time-wise. I mean, Nixon was in the late 60s. Yeah. Harding was in the middle 20s.
This is 60 years ago, 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a strange thing to me. Yorba Linda, that's where Nixon's from. Yorba Linda, California. I bet Yorba Linda knows what they're doing out there.
That's right.
We don't know what we're doing. Right, Matt?
No.
You want to hear a drum roll? By the way, if anybody's got an opinion on the solar eclipse overreaction or the are we forgetting President Harding, let us know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We would love to hear from you. But, you know, the drum roll's a tricky thing. Oh, there it is. Well, that Folgers thing is still playing. There's the drum roll. The drum roll by itself.
The coffee is pouring into the mug while there's a drum roll.
That's right. We don't want to overshadow the drum roll with the Folgers cup. Are you ready for the top 10, Matt?
The top 10s are always exciting.
Are you excited for this one?
Of course.
Pastor, are you excited?
I am.
All right, let's roll into our first top 10. Now, of two today, there will also be a brand new one tonight. So this is the first time I've actually read it off the computer, so we'll see how this goes. This could be rough in and of itself, but we're going to try it. We're going to soldier through. Let's get the drum roll going. See, it about went out there.
Yeah.
Oh, see, there it went. Ouchie. I think the guy said ouchie. His fingers must be hurting. He's been playing that drum for several weeks now. Okay, here we go. The category, top 10 reasons why WWGH will not use AI, artificial intelligence. You understand this, Matt?
I do.
The top 10 reasons WWGH will not use, because we had some problems earlier on with a Family Feud question, will not use AI, artificial intelligence. Are you ready?
I am, yes.
Okay, number 10. We are afraid AI would put the WWGH staff in the obituaries. That could happen. You know, we don't need that. We don't need people ending up in the obituaries. You know what I'm saying, Matt?
Yeah.
That would be bad. All right, number... Well, this is good. Top 10 reasons why WWGH will not use AI, artificial intelligence. Number 9. The FCC license only allows real people on our board of directors. I've heard there can be trouble with that. I've heard they're troublesome, you know, whole thing. Well, that was a good one, wasn't it?
That was.
If you can't make fun of yourself, who can you make fun of? Right. Number 8. We offered AI a job, and it turned us down. Darn.
Man.
You didn't miss that opportunity.
Nope.
You hopped on it. All right. Number 7. AI claims to have better answers for Family Feud. Well, right there. You know, you can't get rid of the old and go with the new. All right. Top 10 reasons why WWGH will not use AI, artificial intelligence. Okay. Number 6. We believe AI would just use WWGH as a stepping stone to become mayor. Oh, well, we've had people do that here. Can you imagine?
That's a good one.
Yeah, my goodness. If it's happened once, it'll happen again. Here we go. Number 5. We received a petition from our Cleveland audience threatening to boycott the station because AI stood for American Indians. Well, we know there's a lot of sore feelings over that whole thing. All right.
I'm glad Sean wasn't here for that.
Yeah, we'd go into a whole thing right now. We'd never be able to stop. Top 10 reasons why WWGH will not use AI, artificial intelligence. Number 4, AI wanted to sing a duet with John Lennon. I don't know. Now, I'm a little lost on that one, but we'll go with it.
Are we doing the Family Feud things that are supposed to be funny but aren't?
I could be. AI wanted to sing a duet with John Lennon. I'm sure there's some correlation there with something, but it's good. Number 3, AI wanted to ban Diet Pepsi from the station, saying it's unhealthy. Well, right there. Well, yeah. It'll never happen.
No.
It will never happen.
Not as long as you're around.
Not as long as I'm around. We'll have no AI around here. Top 10 reasons why WWGH will not use AI, artificial intelligence. It's Diet Coke, by the way, not Diet Pepsi. But we'll go with
We'll run with it. We'll run with it.
Number 2, after 9 years, why should we start using intelligence? Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? Why bring anything in? All right, let's make sure we got the drum roll rolling because we're about to hit number 1 here. Okay, here we go. The number 1 reason why WWGH will not use AI, artificial intelligence, AI cannot compete in the fruitcake toss.
Yeah!
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Top 10 reasons why WWGH will not use AI.
Speaking of fruitcake toss.
Oh, were we? Okay, let's go to it.
I heard somebody say fruitcake.
Somebody did say fruitcake.
After taking last year off, I've been practicing.
You weren't there last year.
I wasn't.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, it was a happening.
I was there the first year.
Adam actually threw it forward.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That was shocking.
I was disappointed that I missed it for a lot of reasons, but I missed that part. So I'm practicing now.
Oh, it was a happening down at the church. Woo, it was something. So what do you make of our list today? Because we've got another one coming tonight.
Just after 9 years, why would we start using intelligence?
Yeah, we don't need that. After all this time.
Why change what's working?
Yeah, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's right.
That's what I say. Well, thanks for the top 10, and that's our home office in Columbus, Ohio, Bob Welch. Now, tonight we'll have a whole nother top 10 list, so you got to tune in for that, and it will be a lot of fun. Right, Matt?
Always.
Do you want to give a hint at who the guest co-host is tonight?
We work with her.
We do?
And she was on... She has been on a Friday show.
One time?
She was only on for an hour because I was asleep.
I'm glad we can admit that.
I forgot to pick... Well, I didn't forget to pick her up. I was just, you know, busy sleeping. So,
yeah. That got in the way of picking her up.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, at least honesty. You're good with honesty here. Okay. Well, speaking of that, are people too touchy? Are people too sensitive?
Yes.
In life? Oh, well, that did... Well, there we go. Case solved. Next category. No, I think people are too sensitive. I think people these days take everything...
Personally.
Yeah, they take it personally, and everything means exactly what you say, and there is no humor in society.
And, you know, the humor, that's a good point, because I agree, there is no humor in society. Classic example are the comedians. The comedians that get shut down, they lose their jobs, they're banned from places for things they say, but that has been a staple for comedy forever. You know, if you were to apply the standards today, there were comics from the 50s, 60s, and 70s that they'd have had one job and they wouldn't been done.
PI, politically correctness.
Right.
Politically incorrectness is what we are having a problem with. And comedy is based on surprise. So if you can't surprise the audience, what do you got?
And it's based on surprise. And there's always an element of truth to it, but you're exaggerating it.
Do we always have to worry about other people's feelings? Is that the ultimate rule?
Unfortunately, it seems to be. I mean, if no harm is intended, we shouldn't have to worry about people's feelings.
I always feel like if I have to sacrifice one person to make five laugh, I think that's a fair sacrifice.
It's a fair sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I think so. I think that I'm with Pastor Craig. I would just Man, my thoughts just left my brain.
Are you okay today?
I'm not sure, man.
You seem a little off. Did something happen overnight?
I don't think so.
Oh, let's hope not.
Let's hope.
Well, that was it.
I don't know, man.
Okay. Did you offer an opinion at all on that? Are people too...
I realized I had a really short answer when I said yes.
Yes.
But I was expecting a little bit more of a longer answer from you, but I guess not.
Yeah, are people too sensitive?
I think so. And okay. I think that if you say something that you don't mean to be rude or like you don't mean it in a hurtful way and somebody takes it that way, you just got to just forget about it. Like,
but what about those people who give you the silent treatment? They never tell you they're ticked off, but they just don't talk to you. But you never know why. You never know what the problem is.
Generally speaking, if somebody just gives me the silent treatment, I kind of just forget they exist.
You never thought, well, I wonder why that person's not talking.
No, it'll be like months down the line. I'm like, I haven't talked to this person in a long time.
Well, do you ever figure out what happened?
No, because at that point, I don't care.
Okay, well, there you go.
I think it shows a somewhat of a lack of character on their part. You know, if I say something that was not intended to hurt anybody, but if I say something and the person was offended, but then they're giving me the silent treatment, you know, well, if you were offended, then you should say something, you know. Tell me, hey, that really offended me, and let's talk about why it offended you. Now, when we talk about why, then I may say, well, you're too sensitive. But if you don't ever bring up the fact that I offended you, you just want to give me the silent treatment, I'm sorry.
This joke will not sound as funny as it did in its time, but it was one of those moments where everybody laughed, because I'm not going to say the name of the person because we're too sensitive and I don't want to hurt the person's feelings. But I was in a room once. It was a very quiet room of probably 20 people. And there was a game being played by a girl who was looking for fish in the room. She was trying to find the fish. So it's very quiet, and the girl's trying to find all these fish, and she's doing it very intently, trying to find all these fish. And somebody speaks up to her at one point and says, "Why are you so determined to find all these fish? I mean, you've probably already found enough to be the winner like 10 times over." And she said very seriously, "I do not want to be a loser. I don't even know what feeling like a loser is. I don't even know what it is to feel like a loser." And I just went, "Wow. Tell us what that feels like, Blamp," to another person in the room. And when I said that, the other person obviously did not laugh because they felt I was going after them. But everybody in the room, I mean, it was almost like a drone laugh. It was so funny to them because they didn't see it coming. Now, should I not have done that? Should I not have went to that person?
You did no, I think what you did was fine because you weren't intending to hurt them. You weren't intending
to.
And I think that's the problem, is we have a tendency to take everything personally. Take everything, you know, as if you're speaking the truth as opposed to you're making a joke. I mean, I know that, you know, you and I have the same, kind of the same sense of humor. And I know there have been times that I've said some things totally I say things to get a laugh. I've been that way all my life. I was the class clown in school. I mean, my parents, they got notes on a regular basis from my teachers that Craig needs to get serious. Now, I was also a straight A student, so they had trouble, you know, saying, you know, disciplining me and stuff like that. But I was always in trouble for, I just said what I thought, and I was always vying for the laugh. And if I can make half the class laugh, that was better than making two people laugh. So that's the way I've been all my life. And there have been times I've said some things that, you know, I was just trying to get the laugh, and I got the laugh, but, you know, one person walked away, you know, that I was picking on them or I hurt them, and I'm like, wow, nothing was intended. I was just, you know, just making a funny.
You know, now what is that thing where you're talking about something? Because Matt and I actually had a conversation during the break where, again, no names because people are sensitive, but where you have heard me say 1,000 things in the last 3 months since you've been here, and you said you've never thought that they were personally directed toward anybody. But yet I know there are people who have felt that I've said things that are personally directed toward them. So if I don't say your name, how in the world can you say that that's personally directed toward you?
I don't know. Maybe they're just going by if the shoe fits, wear it. They think you're talking to them because they think of that about themselves. Even though you were just saying it, like, as a joke, or just saying it to say it, they were, like, assuming that you caught on.
Yeah, but you know, my sensitivity is I would never sacrifice anybody. Like, we were talking about secrets last week, which got a lot of play. I would never sacrifice somebody's secret to get a laugh. I wouldn't do that. But sometimes I will give somebody a characteristic, like when I called that person a loser. Now, I don't think they're a loser, clearly, but I gave them that characteristic because it was funny. So that's different, though. So why be sensitive about that? Do they really feel like they're a loser? Is that why it hurt them? Or were they hurt for being singled out? I don't know.
See, in that, like, a situation like that, I genuinely don't know why people get upset. Because, like, obviously it wasn't meant to be taken in any serious way.
I think lots of times they're just example of they're too self-focused and they take themselves too seriously, or they have a lot of problems themselves that bothers them, so they feel if it's ever mentioned, you know, that's you know, cutting into something in them, and you know, you just can't take yourself so seriously that you get hurt.
Self-conscious,
right?
Yeah. Is there a lot of self-consciousness going on in our society?
There's a bunch.
Yeah.
So how do we fix that? Can we?
I don't know that you can fix it, but I know that it's only gotten progressively worse with the creation of social media and things like that.
Like, I know when a lot of people now will tell a joke and then they'll have to go, just kidding. Well, that kind of takes the edge off.
Sure.
Or if you have to explain the joke to them.
Right.
I don't know. I just think that people need to be less self-conscious, less worried about what they're involved in, because I don't understand. First of all, what good does it do anybody to knock somebody else down? Does that really make anybody feel better? Because I think that's the ultimate connotation. That person's trying to make themselves feel better by putting me down. Does that ever work? Have you ever put anybody down in your life and felt better for doing it?
No. And, you know, if that's what your motivation is, then that's really then you're saying that you've got deep problems that you don't want to face, and so it makes you feel better about your deep problems if somebody else gets knocked down.
Well, during Pastor Whitaker's show this morning, we talked about giving people advice. Now, people don't want your advice. I contend that 90% of the people don't want your advice because they're doing what they're doing. Now, you can give it over and over and over and over, and you can even understand that it's not going to get a good reception, but understand that before you do it.
Well, you know, I usually don't give advice unless I'm asked. And when I'm asked, the first thing I will say is, you probably aren't going to like what I'm going to tell you. And you might want to, and you might take it personally, but it's not intended to be personal. It's, you're asking me for my advice, and I'm going to give it to you. And then I give my advice.
You know, there was a quote one time that said, when you know better, you do better. So, of course, people don't know they're making a mistake. How could you ever walk up to somebody and say, you know, you're really something minute, baking that cake wrong? Well, they don't think they're baking that cake wrong, or else they wouldn't be baking it that way. So, of course, they're going to take what you're saying as criticism. Now, you might be right, but it's not what they're doing, and they don't think they're wrong, and they've got to come to that on their own. You know, last Friday night, I thought we had a great conversation in the secret conversation when I said that I knew that somebody was cheating one time, or at least had a pretty good idea that they were on their husband. But I did not go to the husband and say that the girl was cheating because I did not think that would be greeted very well, and I didn't know for sure, but when, you know, 2 months later, we found out that, yes, she was cheating, and the husband found out. When the husband found out that I had an inkling of that, it immediately it was, why didn't you tell me? Well, you wouldn't have taken that well if I'd told you back then, because you didn't think she was cheating on you. So that's really what it's all about. What do you think, Matt?
I think that timing is everything, and that if you... There was probably I don't know. How did he find out? He had to have, like...
I think she did eventually tell him that she was leaving him for another guy, that she'd been seeing another guy.
How would you not notice?
Mm. Oh, there are ways to not notice.
Yeah. And sometimes it's a matter of going back to being too much focused on yourself, being self-focused. You know, you can be the person that's being cheated on, but you don't see those other signs. Then there can be a lot of reasons. But one, because you're just so self-focused that you're not really paying attention. You don't see the signs. Or you can also see the signs, but you don't want to think that that's what it is.
This is a big subject for our last 8 minutes. But to be honest with you, one of the problems is when you are in a marriage or when you are in a relationship for a long period of time, I mean, really anything over a year, the longer you're in it, the really less interested you are in that person. Now, I'm not saying you love them any less or you care about them any less, but you just know about them. You've been around them. You see them all the time. So as time goes on, it's like when you see older people in restaurants not talking to each other anymore and they're married. It's because they've been around each other for 40 years. They don't have anything to say anymore. They've said it all. It's done. So they don't have time. They're eating. The food's more interesting. They'd rather know more about the waiter, the server in the restaurant. And that's what happens. So here you go. Let's say you're in a 3, 4, 5, 6 year marriage or relationship. You are not paying that person as much attention as you did in the beginning. And then here comes somebody new who starts paying attention to them. And that is appealing to a lot of people. Attention's very addicting.
Most affairs start out with the person who's doing the cheating isn't interested in a sexual relationship from the start. It usually, you know, most affairs start out as like a friendship, a person who will listen.
The person who's trying to get the friendship or the person who's already in the marriage?
The person who's already in the marriage.
Yeah, I don't think they think it's going to turn that way.
They don't think it's going to turn that way. Right. They're just seeing a person who's a friend to them. They're
paying
seeing a person who pays attention to them, a person who will listen to them. That's how the vast majority of affairs start out. There's never any intention to, I'm going to cheat on my spouse.
No, I don't think they go into it with that idea, but I think over time...
It happens.
The grass is always greener. That's what it is. The grass is always greener on the other side, especially if the person has become the same. And most people are genuinely the same. You don't change. You don't get up every morning with a different personality. So here's this different personality. Well, that's different. That's new. That's appealing. And people like the chase. Now, people will tell you they don't like to be chased, but they do.
They do.
They want to be chased. They want to have people pay attention to them. They want people to buy dinner. They want people to notice. Of course. You look great today. Open the car door and all that. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with it. But let's lay it on the table for what it is.
Right.
Interesting. So you guys think that...
Listen, I don't think anything. I know.
I was thinking that, but I didn't want to say it.
Now, don't cry. Don't be too sensitive.
So, I don't know. How do you just stumble upon cheating on somebody?
Well, I don't think you stumble on it.
You don't stumble upon it.
It's more of a fall.
Yeah. You know,
see, people won't like that, but okay, go ahead. No, what do you mean stumble? I guess I don't understand what you're talking about.
You guys said, how do you just kind of end up cheating on somebody you're married to? It just doesn't make sense.
Because this person from the outside has that intention. They like you, but they're not going to tell you that right off the bat because they know you're married. So they're going to start to say, boy, you're beautiful. Boy, you look nice today. You know,
You got a new car.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Boy, you're so smart.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, your husband is so lucky. Your boyfriend is so lucky. You know, I've never had anybody like you in my life. If I did, boy, you know, it would have worked out. And it just gets progressive, 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 progressive. And at home, you got this same guy or girl you've had it's the same thing.
It's a routine.
It's macaroni. It's macaroni and cheese, like, every night. Macaroni and cheese.
How do you not see through the, like, the other person? Like, everything that you said that they would say, it just...
You don't like to be complimented?
Not really.
Oh, that's not true.
I don't know what to say to compliments. They make me uncomfortable.
Well, not that kind of... If a girl said to you... You know, wow, you're unlike any guy I ever met before. That's one, you know, you're, that, and you're the one.
Your ears are going to perk up.
Yeah.
You're going to perk up.
By the way, your girlfriend over here is, she's just showing up at night, you know. Hey, let's watch a movie.
Yeah.
Same thing. Every night. But this person is telling you all kinds of things you haven't heard because they're new.
So you go to work every day. You pack a lunch every day. And then this lady says to you on Wednesday, you know, I've noticed you've always packed a lunch every day. Why don't you get out? Why don't you, let's run over to X place and have lunch. Give you a break from, you know, what are you going to say, Matt?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't have anything else to do. Might as well.
Well, I bet your wife wouldn't like that.
That's how it starts. Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, I have the same old sandwich every day. Yeah, like, something different. That's how it starts.
But the compliments that Scott was throwing out, those are very obvious compliments.
Well, are they?
Yes.
And they're not going to come right away. I mean, they're going to over time. And
you're smart.
Gonna...
That's an obvious compliment. Because that's how it started. I went, you're smart. Aren't you nice? You look nice today. You always dress very well.
And it could be...
You
just,
wouldn't take that
see,
as anything.
Maybe not those ones, but the whole... Like, the moment you got to the whole...
Well, it's progressive. You don't start with those.
Like, one day she says one thing. Oh, you look nice today. And you go, oh, well, thank you. And then nothing else is said the rest of the day.
No.
And then 2 days later, she says, oh, wow, is that a new shirt? I like that. And you go, well, yeah, actually, it is a new shirt. Nothing else is said the rest of the day. It's gradual.
But eventually, you do get to those bigger compliments. Boy, you are really a beautiful person.
Yeah.
You know, well, okay, well, there you go.
You should be able to see through it.
You should be able to see through it. So therefore, take this as a warning when you're 25 and when you're 30 and when you're 35 and when you're 40.
But sometimes, remember this, you don't want to see through it because, again, what you're going home to every night ain't that great anymore.
Sometimes that happens.
And sometimes it is great, but you just have forgotten how great it is.
Right.
Because a lot of times when you tick that person off, you get down the road with the other person a little ways. And in the beginning, like I said, there is always the honeymoon period. You get that wonderful thing for 6 months a year. But one day you reflect back on the other person and you say, why did I screw that up? Well, that boy, I really, that was a big mistake.
So,
speechless.
Boy, he's hurt. His head is hurt. He's rubbing his brow.
Are we making your brain sweat?
How are you ever going to make it through the show tonight? We'll ask Emily about this tonight. I bet she has an interesting opinion.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
Well,
that's why it happens.
That's right.
You don't see it coming.
And probably lots of people your age don't see it. But trust me, Scott, the further along you go in life, the more life lessons you learn, and that's one of them.
Yeah. Just remember, nobody's exciting all the time, and that's the problem with marriage and relationships in general. You have to have a really strong devotion to that person, because inevitably somebody else will try to get in the picture.
And you know, to what Scott was saying, you know, in the beginning, you know, there's that honeymoon period, you know, you first meet someone and you fall in love and you're going here and you're going there and you're doing that and you're doing that, and then 5 years later into your marriage, you're having kids, and so, you know, every day you've got a routine with the kids, and you got your routine for work, and you got the bills that have to be paid, and you've got, you know, all these things going on, and it is very easy to settle into just almost like you're on autopilot, really, as far as the relationship goes.
There's a funny moment that is depicted in a lot of movies, but it can go either way, guy or girl. But there does come a moment when the most beautiful girl or most beautiful guy you've ever seen, depending on which side of the venture on, there does come a moment, and it usually is 6 months, a year, sometimes even further than that down the line, where you wake up in the morning and you see them asleep in bed with the stuff, you know, in their eyes and the hair not done, and you see the real person, and in that moment you panic and you say, oh no, what have I done? And I'm not a big watcher of Friends, but I was around somebody who watched Friends once one time, and the only thing I ever ascertained from that show that was very good was they would break up and date other people and break up and date other people, but they called it, I think, the lobster. The lobster was the one that they always went back to, the one that they didn't always necessarily end up with, but that was the person who they should have ended up with, because that's the person who really did understand them the most. It wasn't just about that new change, I need this hole filled. That person really understood them. And that's why I never understand opposites attract or the same. But I don't think that's really it. I think what it really is all about is who really understands you as a person? Who understands that you're heavily depressed and you need to be lifted up? Who really understands what your demons are? Because you certainly don't show a new person your demons right off the bat. Well, President Harding certainly didn't. He went to the closet for other reasons. He didn't have room for things in his closet. Now, you got to be a real Harding historian to get that joke. But they're laughing at the Harding home right now. Go ahead. What do you got, Matt? Parting words on this episode. This hour goes by fast.
I don't know. There's not much to...
Well, that's great parting. Great parting information.
I mean, this has been a great show. I enjoyed the conversations we've had.
Well, don't you always?
Yeah.
Are you excited for tonight?
Oh, of course.
Ramp it up.
Friday night is always the best.
Now, that's how I feel. We get into trouble on Friday night, though, sometimes. Sometimes there's some feedback on that show that, you're like, wow, okay. What do you think, Pastor?
I think it was a great show, and I'm assuming that Matt is going to finally close us out with his famous little saying that he's been practicing. That he's been practicing all week.
We got it?
Yep, I think so.
Okay.
We just go for it?
Oh, it's the end.
Okay. For Matthew Morgan, Scott Spears, and Pastor Craig... at WWGH, thanks for joining us, where Washington crosses the Delaware.
Hey, not bad.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
$5 each. The Ohio State Highway Patrol has entered the 10th annual Best Looking Cruiser Contest, sponsored by the American Association of State Troopers. Voting for the Best Looking Cruiser is underway through July 31st at noon. Please visit the Patrol's Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram page and click the link in any of the contests.